Well, I look out across the congregation and see a lot of familiar faces. And I want to welcome you and want to tell you hi. I miss you when I'm not around you. We're a big family, and when we're together, I can't help but just be pleased to see you and hug your necks. And very thankful that we're able to be brothers and sisters here today. To those of you who don't know me, perhaps, there might be some of those here, my name's Ivan. I'm not one of those that you could look to as some moving orator. I'm just a kind of a country boy, but maybe a man you might meet on the street that might give you a smile, say hi. And tonight, I'd like to maybe we can have just a personal conversation, just you and me. And God. Because I think the Lord really would like to cause us to consider ourselves. Meetings like this, there's a purpose to them. Different things that the Lord has in mind when we come together. He wants to feed us. Remember on the people gathered around Him on the, there by the mount? They gathered around Him and He just began to teach the people. Such wonderful words. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there at that message that day? I think the crowd couldn't hardly go home. It happened more than once, He said. But then there were other times it seemed like He said some things to them and they went home kind of early. They probably shouldn't have went home. There was some of those who also heard that what seemed to be offensive to them, and they stayed. But Jesus looked at him and He said, will you go also? And I've always loved the resolve that Brother Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And I'm convinced of that myself tonight, that the Lord Jesus is really the only one that has the words of eternal life for us tonight. You can't look toward me. You'll be disappointed. I won't meet all your expectations. But I hope you look past me and look to Christ. Because He's the one that can fill the needs of our souls. And He alone. We may help. We may do what humans can, but we are so limited. There's some of my brothers are much more, they're not nearly as limited as I am, but even so, we're limited people. But there's only some places that God Himself can address in our lives. And at meetings like this, sometimes He may come along and say some things personally to us that opens up a place in me that I wish wouldn't have got opened up. Maybe He says something that's a hard saying. And I want to ask us tonight, or whenever the Lord comes by and visits us, that we would have the attitude that Brother Peter had when he said, Lord, I don't know where else to go. I'm convinced You have the words of life, and I'm going to stay for them. There was, and I won't turn here because I didn't even look this one up, but do you remember the woman who came to Jesus? Not in her own will, but people had caught her and brought her there and caught her in the very midst, very act of something that was, probably, I believe that she felt very ashamed that situation. She was caught there. And she was brought before Jesus, the one who saw clear through her and knew everything about her. And they challenged Jesus, what are we going to do about this one? She's caught her red-handed right in the act. And you know what Jesus did. He began to deal with, I wonder what sayings that He wrote on the ground. And they all began to walk away, and none of them needed to. None of them needed to. And when all had turned loose of her who had held her tight, and walked away, she could have run too. She didn't. And she stayed to hear these words, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." What wonderful words that the King of Heaven can say to hurting people. She was guilty. There was no denying that. But what she had and all the guilt that she carried, she had been brought without her intention even to the feet of someone who loved and cared and was willing to deal with her in her need. Well, I think more than likely when we get together, we can learn to smile pretty well and say hi and enjoy greeting one another. Can I have a Kleenex again? I'm sorry. I'm one of those. Thank you, Brother Martin. We learn ways of hiding sometimes things that might be buried inside of us. And I want you to know that maybe not tonight, but sometime in this meeting, the Lord may very well want to uncover something. And He's not doing it out of a desire to make you feel rejected or attacked, but He's doing it for our own good. And we don't have to run away when He begins to say something that may seem like a hard saying to me. We don't have to leave. We can stay there to hear Him say, "Neither do I condemn thee." Oh, isn't it wonderful to find forgiveness? Well, I would like to turn over here in the book of Isaiah, the first chapter. There... quite possibly in here, past our smiles and our ability to say hi and seem happy, there may be some that are hurting down inside with their own something that nobody sees but you. Maybe some knowledge that you have that you don't know how to deal with. There might be something there. It's beyond you. Sins like that. And sometimes it's not even a sin that you're guilty of now, but you has been put on you and you're carrying it to this point. I've heard it said that God's church should be like a hospital where the damaged, the hurt, can come and find a place of comfort and healing. And I agree with that for the most part, but folks, there's none of us can heal. We can comfort, we can add, give what we can, but really we've got to take you to Jesus. We are so limited in what we can do. But the balm to heal the heartache only Jesus can afford. He's the one that can truly understand. In Isaiah, the first chapter, 18th verse, some beautiful words here. This is an invitation, not given by a man. You wouldn't be impressed if I said this to you. Wouldn't have any ability to carry it out or to give you what is spoken here. I wouldn't have that. You, maybe a dignitary that we're in awe of could maybe come by and say something to us and we might be in awe, but when he walked away, he would have no power to do what the scripture is going to be telling us. But there's one who has the full authority to say this to you and I individually and personally, and speak to the deepest of our needs. He has full authority to deal with wherever the hurt is. He is the one that stood up and opened up this book of Isaiah and said, remember when he first began? You know what The verse he read talked about opening the blinded eyes and opening up prison houses, letting them go free. And he spoke it, and I believe it. He said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And we are at a time of the year that most of the world begins to remember the fact that this gift was given to mankind. And I hope we understand that the gift is way more than a few little things that we wrap and give to one another. I suppose that's good. But I want to tell you what's the best is the fact that there were some angels that talked to some shepherds out alone. And they spoke of salvation. They spoke of hope. And it wasn't one angel. One angel began to say that, but it seemed like the joy of heaven couldn't be held back. And suddenly, there was surrounding all these astonished shepherds who were dealing with some fear. But also the shepherd said, fear not. Or the angel said, fear not to the shepherd. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And then as all the angels gathered around and sang along, oh, that must have been. They're talking about the ability of a king that came to deal with you and I in the midst of our deepest need. He's able to meet those places. He's able. He has the full authority to help you and I in the depth of our needs. Come now, he says. This is God saying to people. People who don't know how to deal with what you have on hand. Perhaps here tonight. Maybe you can't even verbalize it. Maybe it's so you don't know exactly how to deal with it. But I've got this on hand. I don't know what to do with it. And Jesus tonight, the God of heaven, through His Son, speaks to us and says, come. He's not afraid of where you are. It's not beyond Him. He said He is able to save. Is it limited?
No.
What does uttermost mean to you? Doesn't mean everybody else's problem, but mine's too complicated. That's not what the scripture says to you tonight. The God of heaven looks at you in the depth of your need and says, come.
Amen.
For God so loved.
Amen.
And He didn't leave a soul out. For God so loved the world that He provided a lamb. I know what the scripture says. We can all quote it. But He gave a lamb for our need. For our defilement. Whatever is going on inside here, there is a lamb that's been slain.
Thank you, Lord.
To take my place and yours. To begin to set right those things that has been made wrong. And He hasn't lost His power. Nor has He come to the place that He's so, the problem is so confusing. He has to say, I don't know what's beyond me. He's not like that. He knows. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. You know what those words mean, don't you? All powerful. He is able. Come now. Let us reason together. Saith the Lord. I remember when the Lord was calling to me. And I know how the devil can make it look. Because he doesn't want us to get our help. He can make us feel like that our situation has gone too far. Or somehow has gotten so complicated. So many things are involved that that you can't find your way back. I know how it felt, because that's what the devil was saying to me. It seemed like such a tangled web that I didn't know how to get out of it. And he built that up in my mind that night. But I also can tell you how quickly the Lord can dispel all that confusion. Because when he touched me when I was down there pouring out my heart, begging for him, I want to tell you, in a moment, things changed. It's called salvation, forgiveness. Folks, it is a wonderful thing to experience forgiveness. I came defiled and guilty to Jesus. You know the song? I came defiled and guilty to Jesus, the mighty to save. He left me in my guilt. Is that what? No. He took my sin and my sorrow and beauty for ashes gave. And I can say with a full-throated amen to that, I know what it means. I've been there. I know what it's like for him to take away the guilt, cause the light to shine through and arise from that altar a new man, a new creature. I like to say it better, really. I shouldn't have said man, because it's a new creature. That's God's creation. He loves to recreate brokenness into something that's beautiful. And burned out, troubled lives. He wants to renew and restore and breathe life. And I know what it's like to hear the devil say, it's not possible. It's all gone. You went too far. But that's not what God says to you tonight. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, and I think of that designation. It's the God of heaven talking to people. And up above here, if you read up above, they were without doubt guilty. He talked about in one of the scriptures prior to this about them coming and even making a pretense of prayer. And he said, I can't hear because you've got blood in your hands. You're so guilty. You are defiled. You're so twisted, so messed up. Your thinking's all backwards and you're still trying to come and claim something that you're not. You need to turn that loose. Oh, I didn't mean to say it like that tonight, but perhaps that may be what the Lord wanted us to hear. Perhaps there might be somebody here tonight that's not what you claim. And I implore you tonight, if that's your condition, if that's where we are, if anyone is tonight, I want to ask you to be willing to say, Lord, I'm tired of the sham. Amen. Be willing to come and give that to the Lord, because He is able to save. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet. Now, I want everyone to know that whatever we think might be hidden down in here, we may have hid it from each other. We may even almost have hidden it from ourselves. But there's one who knows. And it stands out boldly. Have you ever thought what it might be when it's your turn? When the judgment? You know, when I was younger, it seemed like I would have dreams about the judgment. You ever had those?
Yes.
And I felt like I'd wake up almost with a cold sweat and this, I'm not ready. I thank God for those type of dreams. Caused me to have some serious thinking about who I am responsible to. And then tonight I want us to think that for us to take who we are, we're going to meet God sometime. And there's all the excuses we may have given to ourselves tonight to carry on, carrying whatever it might be. And again, the Lord may have a hard saying for us. But they are, it's not a saying of death, it's a saying of hope, of help, of healing. Now, God wants us to reason with Him because He knows the sin, He knows. And again, I want to broaden that. Not always sin, but there are some things sometimes that we are dealing with we don't know how to get rid of. And I want to encourage us tonight to be willing to bring those to the Lord. God would not have us go crippled through life. He wants to rebuild. And again, sometimes this creation business, as we walk with the Lord, sometimes He builds line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Some things I know is they're done automatically, very quickly, suddenly. But sometimes as we walk with the Lord perfects some things that concerns us as we walk with the Lord. So I want to encourage you tonight, if you have some place that you don't know how to deal with tonight, during this meeting, bring it to the Lord. Because the Lord doesn't want us to go crippled. He wants healing. He doesn't want the lame to be turned out of the way. He wants it to be healed. Though your sins be as scarlet, they stand out to the Lord. He sees them. There's nothing we can do to hide them from the all-seeing eye of God. He sees. But though sometimes in myself, it seems like it stands up so strong in my mind. Have you ever had something that you remember in your past? I know you probably do. I've had it myself, have them. Things that I shudder at the memory of what I did. You ever had that? I look at it and I'm alone sometimes and I remember and I shudder and say, oh, oh, oh. The Lord would like to bring some healing. If that's not under the blood, I ask you tonight to bring it to the cross. Because God doesn't want that to be a hindering part of your life. He wants to forgive. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing. For Him to say, neither do I condemn. Go and sin no more. He loves to say those words to those who come and ask. And oh, I want to encourage us tonight, be willing to ask. He says, seek, knock. You'll find. The door will be opened. He has that. He's not one of those that's holding the door closed hard. No. He's asking, knock. And I'll open the door. What that tells us tonight is He's waiting for us to ask. Then He'll open the door quickly. When we are willing with all of our heart to give it to the Lord. Come, let us reason. It's reasonable, isn't it? When we are in such trouble, why would we want to carry it on in life? There is a God who wants to supply, to deal and work with our need and supply the answer to our need and get us beyond this. Some perhaps need salvation here tonight. It's most important. We're going to meet the end someday. During this meeting, if you're not saved, I encourage you to come and bring yourself to an altar of prayer or find somebody else that you can open your heart to and they're able to pray with you, to encourage you to come together and seek for salvation. Because God's interested in giving forgiveness and help and setting your feet on a solid rock. That's what God wants to do for you. So come and let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they seem to stand out as such a strong impediment in my future, not knowing how to get past, though they are so vivid to my mind, bring it. Jesus, the God of heaven here is saying, though they be as scarlet, they shall be, how? White as snow. I like that. The reason why I like that so much, because I know how guilty I was before the Lord. And I came without the ability to get out from underneath that heavy load. And when He forgave, it was like it just... it rolled away. I wish I could tell you how it really was. I really do. Oh, but those of you who have experienced it know what I'm talking about tonight. And those who haven't, I would love for you to have it. And so would God. The reason why I know that is because Jesus is the one that said that His Father so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's not life like this world gives. This is a spiritual enlivening. This is a guilt-free life. This is an unity with the Father in heaven in a time when this old body goes to dust. I fly away. And I'm able to meet Him in peace. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us tonight. I hope tonight you're understanding that I'm not here to try to accuse you, but I'm here. I hope you can see beyond where we are to a place that God is calling us to. A place of healing, a place of hope, a place of forgiveness. A place that He wants to lead us into the future in godliness, in righteousness, in holiness, where guilt is under the blood. And Brother Paul, I'm sure he had exercised himself in this verse, but he told this to us, forgetting those things which are behind, I press. Lord, help us to come to that place as everything's under the blood, and I begin do by the grace of God exercise forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ, Christ Jesus. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Next verse says, if ye be willing and obedient. And that's what it's going to take here tonight. When the voice of the Lord is calling, He wants us to be willing to respond. We don't have to. There are people who walk the other way, but they didn't need to. Surely the sweet love of the Lord is here to say, come. Now I want to go over to another thought over in Ezekiel, 37th chapter. Ezekiel saw a lot of bones. And they were dry, they were very dry, but bones represented, generally when we find bones, we think there was something used to live here. It's not anymore. And talked about these bones being not only dry, but very dry. It looks like they had been without life for a long time. And I believe if you and I picked up a fossilized bone, we would, and somebody said, can this thing come back to life? We'd say no. But we have to understand that it's different with God. I'm confident we can look sometimes at some people and think there is no way for there to be a reclamation or healing or a forgiveness. They went too far. I've heard people talk, they say, Hitler, I'm glad that he's dead and gone. I'm glad he's in torment. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I can't be glad of anybody being in torment. That's not what God wants. They haven't went too far. They may be despicable. But God loves the world. Hitler. And everybody from on down to you and I. The worst person you can imagine, God loved them. And He gave His only Son that they might be saved. But the question came to mind when you look at the depth sometimes of the great need, perhaps the problems that stand out so red like scarlet. So troubling, so deep, so complicated, so beyond what I know how to deal with. Perhaps it's that bad, and the Lord says, do you believe you can live? Some people answer, no, I don't. When I was at the altar praying and begging, and the devil was trying to tell me that it's over with, you went too far. And I was asked at the altar, do you believe the Lord can save you? And I had to honestly answer them at that point. I said, right now, I don't. But I asked them, I said, pray for my unbelief. And when they got together and started praying for my unbelief, I felt the hands go on my back. The ministers gathered around. And it was at that time the Lord did something fantastic for me. And healed my unbelief. And because I knew the work was done, I got up before they were done praying. Didn't intend to be rude. I didn't even know they were still praying, honestly. Something happened. And I got up a new creature. Can these bones live? The answer is yes. The answer is yes with no hesitation. The answer is yes. Can dry bones come back to life? In the hands of my Savior, they can. I want to encourage you tonight. And I don't know where you are, but the Lord laid this on my heart. And again, like a man who might meet you on the street with a smile, I want to ask you, are you ready? Do you have your own little problems tonight, or maybe big problems that you don't know how to get past? I want to ask you to come and give it to the Lord. As we stand and sing a song, I want you to realize there's a hope. I want you to realize there's a God in heaven that says, come. Let's reason together. And He's not confused by the depth of your trouble. It's not beyond His ability to reach. You're not beyond the uttermost. But there is a God in heaven who loves and has given heaven's best for you and me. Won't you come tonight?